I remember. Wife, tell me about him. We saw him over at the high school over there. John Rawlins had come, and he's helped take up the offering that night. She said he must be a school teacher. She'd already said about the paper she thought he's a preacher. But she got talking to him and found out that he'd been to pastor school and was a fundamental Bible believer. And we had a pastor that didn't believe the Bible. And I started looking for a Bible-believing preacher. And I thought, maybe he's one. So we attended the service out here, and I was going to make an appointment to talk to him, but he got up and he said he believed the Bible from kiver to kiver and to kiver. But I still came by and talked to him, found out he's a Bible-believing preacher. And I thank God for Brother Lashley. He's been a great inspiration to me and a great help to me. And okay, turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this is known as the resurrection chapter. And I'd like for us to kind of do a Bible study on some things in this chapter. Schofield titles it as this chapter is the coming of the Lord and the first resurrection. Now, my dad believed in the first resurrection. He believed there was going to be a resurrection one day, and he had a great hope in it. Now, my dad wasn't saved until his later years. He was saved when he was a young man. He was 60, I think, when he was saved. That's getting younger all the time. And but he was saved, what we might say, later in life. And one day I came by the house. My mother was gone, and I heard him shouting and praising the Lord in the house. And that was I'd never heard that before. And I went in, and I asked him what was going on, and he was studying his Sunday school lesson. That's something he did weekly. He went to the Brethren Church at Limestone. He'd get his Bible out and study his Sunday school lesson after he was saved. But now, when I was 7 years old, my dad lost a hand in an accident. When I was 20, he lost a leg in an accident. And these caused him a lot of pain, and it was kind of unhandy. And I wouldn't say he was handicapped, because he worked on until he was 75 years old. But it's kind of aggravating sometimes. And he said he just got to thinking, is reading the Bible there, and got to thinking that one day when he got to heaven, he'd have two good hands and two good legs. And my dad had never been known to rejoice and shout and go along like that before. But, brother, he couldn't contain himself. He got to thinking, when I get to heaven, I'll have two good hands and two good legs. So he believed there was going to be a resurrection. And I believe the people here tonight, most of you believe that. But it's good to think on that and reflect on that sometime. It made him rejoice in the Lord, and it ought to make us rejoice in the Lord when we think and study on that. So let's read some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due season. Now let's skip down to verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward, see, we've had the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Now, let's go over to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, I thank God that for the child of God, there's hope beyond this land of sorrow and beyond the grave. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your love, for your blessings. We thank you for the privilege to assemble together tonight and study your word. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'll help us to open our hearts and minds to the truths of your word tonight. And Lord, just speak to our hearts and help us to look to you and rejoice in the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there is a blessed hope for a child of God beyond this life and beyond the grave, or what we might say beyond the rapture. Now, the oldest question I say ever pondered by man was asked by Job in Job 14:14. If a man die, shall he live again? Now, Job went ahead and answered that. He says, I wait till my change comes. Now, some in our day don't believe it. They didn't in Jesus' day. Don't turn to this, but in Luke 20:27, says, then came unto him certain of the Sadducees. Now, that's a good name, part of it, sad. No wonder they were sad. Sadducees, which deny there is any resurrection. Now, in every age, we have them that don't believe in the resurrection, that there will be a resurrection. Now, Jesus proved there was life after death. In Luke, turn to Luke 8, chapter 8, verses 41 through 42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now let's skip down to verse 49. And while he yet spake, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he had come into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Now, a 12-year-old girl died, and Jesus said, maid, arise, and she arose. Now, the one who spoke the universe into being, and the one who said, let there be light, said, maid, arise, and she arose. Now, turn back over to Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. And when he came nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, arise. Now, here's a 12-year-old girl that had died. And Jesus said, Maid, arise, and she arose. And here is a young man. And Jesus said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he got up. Jesus, the Son of God, had spoken. Now, turn to John 11, 38 through 44. John 11, 38 through 44. Now, we know earlier in the chapter, they came and told him his friend Lazarus was sick. John 11, 38 through 34. And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound in a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Now Lazarus, there's a 12-year-old girl that had died. And Jesus said, Maid, arise. And she arose. A man that had been dead long enough that he was on his way to the cemetery. And Jesus said unto him, Young man, arise. And he arose. Lazarus had been dead 4 days and was stinking. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that grave bound. Think of that. He was still bound up in the grave clothes, but at the speaking of the Son of God, he had to come out of that grave. And then they loosed him and let him go. Now, a 12-year-old girl had just died. God raised her from the dead. Jesus raised her. A grown man had been dead long enough they was going to the cemetery with it. A man that had been dead 4 days. I've heard say that Jesus had the power to raise the dead, the deader, and the deadest. These three. That's an example that Jesus has power over death. Now, it worked when he said, Arise and come forth. And it'll work one day when he cries out to us, those of us tonight that are saved, Arise and come forth. It'll work then. Jesus demonstrated that it'll work. Now, everyone here tonight that's saved, there's hope beyond this veil of tears and beyond this life and beyond the grave. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you'll accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, then you can have that blessed hope in you that there's life beyond this life and beyond this grave. Now, we can have this hope because, number one, the resurrection is prophesied in the Word of God. For the sake of time, we won't turn to these scriptures, but in Matthew 12, verse 40, For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That was prophesied that Jesus would die and be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Jonah was a picture of that. Then it happened when Jesus died on the cross, and now every time we baptize someone, praise God, that's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, another prophecy, Matthew 16, 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And then another prophecy, John 10, 17, and 18. I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to to take it again. So the resurrection was prophesied in the Word of God. Now, let's look at some of the facts of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Acts 1:3 says, He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. After Jesus had risen from the dead, He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, turn to Luke 24:6-7. He was seen by two angels, took a message to those that came to the tomb. And they said, He is not here. Now, God knew they were going to come looking for Jesus in the tomb. And He sent two angels down. And they said, He is not here, He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Now, let's look back in 1 Corinthians 15 again, verses 3 and 4. Now, the Holy Spirit of God gave the Apostle Paul these words. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, Christ died according to the Scriptures. He rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, I like that. That's kind of double barrel there. He died the way the Scriptures said He would. He died according to the way the Scriptures said He would. And then, according to the Scriptures that we've just read, and that Paul wrote here inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, He did rise. He died according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. He rose again. Now, and after this, He appeared to the disciples in the upper room. Then 8 days later, He appeared with the disciples with Thomas in the room. Then later, He appeared in John chapter 21 on the shores of Galilee. He appeared to the disciples. Now, look in verses 5 through 8. And He was seen of Cephas and of the 12. Peter got to see Him one day along with the 12. Verse 6. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain at this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, 500 people at once saw Jesus, and most of them were still alive when Paul wrote this. They were still around. Okay, verse 7. After that, He was seen of James and of all the apostles. And verse 8. And last of all, He was seen of me also. Now the writer here, even though he was inspired by God, Paul says He was seen by me. And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due season. So there are the facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as recorded in the Word of God. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, number two, let's look at the importance of Christ's resurrection. Verses 12 and 13. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you? Now, there was a departure of the faith here. There were some that believed that Christ rose from the dead, but they still some of the Sadducees had rubbed off on them, and they didn't believe there was going to be a resurrection for anyone else. It said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Folks, if we're not going to rise again, then Jesus is not risen, Paul said. Okay, now, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. If Christ be not risen, our pastor's 26 years of preaching here has all been in vain. Enoch's preaching, back in his age, was all in vain. Noah's preaching, 120 years, if Christ be not risen, was all in vain. Okay? Then the rest of verse 14, and your faith is also vain. If Christ be not risen, then our faith, your faith, is vain. Now, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Brother Sandy, if Christ didn't rise, we still loaded down to that old burden of sin. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ be not risen, there old Enoch perished, Noah perished, Moses and Elijah, my mom and my dad perished. If Christ be not risen, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, my life has been so much better since I got saved. Oh, I look back and I think of what I have now. And I thank God for my life since I have been saved. But I'm like the Apostle Paul. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, I am of all men most miserable. If I didn't have the promises of God in the Word of God, I would be a miserable, like Paul, be a miserable person tonight. Now, next, we see in the Word of God the order of the resurrection. In verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Oh, Paul is surmising all this. What would it be like if Jesus hadn't arose? If Jesus hadn't arose, there would be no hope for us. But verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Folks, that's good news. And become the first fruits of them that slept. So, now, Jesus raised from the dead. And get a picture of this now. God raised him from the dead. He ascended up in heaven. We don't have to be afraid. I don't think there's anybody in this world that doesn't have a certain fear of death. Now, I know when I believe that when I die, like the poor beggar, the angels will flock around me and escort me right into the presence of God. But anything that someplace that we haven't been before, there's a little fear there of not having that experience. But Jesus died. He was the first fruits of those that died and rose from the dead. We don't have to be afraid now, because Jesus has gone that way. Jesus died, and he was buried, and God raised him from the dead, and he ascended up into heaven. He went before us. He was the first fruits. Now, next, turn to John 5, 28 and 29. John 5, 28 and 29. The first fruits is already gone, and it's prophesied. Now, Christ said there would be a resurrection. And John 5:28-29 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now, if the Lord tarries, that's where we will wind up one day. But Jesus has been the first fruits of the resurrection. Then those that are his at his coming. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They have done that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 53. After the first fruits, then us. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now here Paul shows us as the dead rise, he shows us a mystery here. Those that are living will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, this is more of what I'm looking for than the resurrection, going through the grave and coming out. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then now, Hebrews 9:27, we won't turn to that, but folks, Jesus is coming one day. Death is coming. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And Jesus is coming back one day. And as I studied this week, God really stirred my heart about it, and this encouraged me. So why should we study this tonight? Looking 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, like the Apostle Paul said, if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. Now, if we're saved, we have hope beyond this life. The devil don't want us to look at that. The devil will get us down. The devil will get us discouraged and have us a looking to everything else. We need to think on these things. We're a child of God, and we have all the promises of God in this book. But thanks be unto God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, now this is why we should study and think on these things. A discouraged, defeated Christian's not going to do too much for God. Did you know that? If we allow the devil to get us discouraged and get us defeated, we're not going to do much for God. Look in verse 58 now. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. God wants to remind us of these things so we'll be steadfast Christians. unmovable, that the attacks of Satan won't move us away from God. We'll just cling to him and hold on to God and hold on to his promises, that you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, if we'll think and meditate and study on these things instead of looking at them. Now, I know we have to know what's going on in this world and the things that are going on right now. If we keep our mind on that, we're going to be discouraged. But Jesus is coming back one day, folks. Jesus is going to come and get us. And he wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to be unmovable. He wants us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, you that worked in Neighborhood Bible Time last week, I wonder if everybody else got as tired as I did. That labor was not in vain in the Lord. That labor was not in vain in the Lord. Now, we need to be steadfast. We need to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be reminded that our labor is not in vain. And we've seen what the Lord's doing for us and what he's going to do for us. And we should ask him, what more can we do for you, Lord? What more can do? We ought to have volunteers coming and going, those that are saved. Now, I read an interesting incident in since Kevin joined the Marines, we get this Marine magazine. And a young man was in there. After he'd been in the Marines for 20 years, told how he came to join the Marines. He said he went to the Army, went in a recruiting office, and asked them, what can you folks do for me? And they told him. It didn't appeal to him. He went to the Navy and asked them, what can you folks do for me? And it didn't appeal to him, what they told him. He went to the Air Force and said, what can you folks do for me? And it didn't appeal to him what they had to offer him. He went to the Marines, said he went in, and this Marine just came to this town and set up in a little cubbyhole office, and he said he went in, and the Marine stood up to attention and said, what can the Marines offer me? And said that Marine snapped to attention and said, young man, you asked the wrong question. You should say, what can I offer the Marines? And you know that fella liked that. And he joined the Marines and stayed in there 20 years. That's what we should say to the Lord. What can we do for that, for you? We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be reminded that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So that's my message to you tonight, Pastor. You can come and close the service if you see fit.